And again, that's a little bit of experience, I think, from Andreescu. Michael Venus, of course, has got experience. I mean, he's fresh from winning the doubles title in Geneva with Jamie Murray in men's doubles. But, you know, you just sometimes need your partner to just lift you a little bit, calm you down, tell you everything's going to be all right. We're fine.
We're fine. We're working into this. And sometimes, as you said, it's just a matter of a point here or there and things can change drastically. Lovely serve there from Andreescu. Kato floats that one up and Venus on top of the net puts away the easy smash into the stands. There's no one sitting in that section of the stands at the moment. It's a very well-attended mixed doubles final, I must say. The bottom tier is largely full, which is a great thing at Roland Garros.
So what they did is they opened the doors and let the public in to watch this. Obviously, we've got the women's semi-finals later on today here at Roland Garros, but I think it's a wonderful idea because you're filling up the stands, you're creating this atmosphere, you're making these players feel appreciated. And also, of course, for TV viewers, they're not looking and seeing half-empty stands because, you know, if you've got tickets for the women's semi-final, you're not, and it doesn't start till three, you're not necessarily going to get here at midday. So, and
the accessibility for anyone listening in that hasn't had the chance to come to Roland Garros this year or in the past, put it on your bucket list of items to do because it's easy to get a train from central Paris or wherever in Paris to nearby and have a lovely walk up through the gardens and into Roland Garros. It's very accessible.
Yes, I mean, it's a little bit like, I suppose it's equivalent to getting on the tube out to Wimbledon from central London, or perhaps in Melbourne, of course, you just get the tram, which is, I mean, it's probably of the four Grand Slams, it's the one that's closest to the centre of the city, isn't it? It's probably, what, 10 minutes, maybe a 15-minute walk, 10 minutes on a tram from the centre of town, say, Flinders Street Station in Melbourne, as Andreescu just fires a forehand cross-court, which left Kato flailing.
The
scream of delight from the Canadian as well, because that brings up game point. A beautiful angle that she was able to find.
Yeah, there's no shortage of talent there, is there, from the Canadian, and she's played really well so far in this final. But yeah, as we're just saying, so that's 15 minutes away. New York is probably the furthest out of town. It's out in Flushing Meadows, so it's in Queens. New York, obviously, quite a big sprawl. You've got Manhattan Island, and then you've got the five boroughs, and Queens being one of them. And it's probably 40 minutes from the centre of town, 45 minutes on the number 7 train on the subway.
Andreescu is able to hold on in exchange of ground strokes with puts from the baseline cross court, and then the German tries to change it up by going down the line, narrowly misses with the forehand winner, and it is Venus and Andreescu at 2-1. Yes, that, I mean, there are elements to the actual commute to each of the four Grand Slams that I love as well. As I said, I do love the venture here. It's there is beautiful gardens on one side. Nearer, there's a racetrack that's quite lovely just across the road as well. I went there on Marcus's tips and lost a fortune.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was your first mistake.
Getting
tips from Marcus.
But then, as you said, you walk up and there's some beautiful cafes and that around in Melbourne, right in the city centre, a 10-minute walk down along the Yarra. Wimbledon, depending where you're coming from, Wimbledon Village, or if you're getting the train into Southfield, or even the bus up from along Wimbledon Common, there's some great sights. And the Flushing Meadows train, the 7 train out to Flushing Meadows, one of the beautiful things, each sort of different stop, or every two stops along there, I suppose there's a different food ethnicity. And so the 7 train food tour is one of the highlights. You can get one nationality of food, one food nationality at one stop. Jump on a progressive dinner. Marcus would be well suited because you'd be able to just get a train.
Get a course at each stop. Yes, because the Queens is a really ethnically diverse, very rich kind of tapestry of second generation immigrants there, and lots of fabulous restaurants. You've got areas where there's a big Honduran population, other areas where there's a big Ecuadorian population, and so on. And as you say, you've got this wonderful kind of fantastic degustation of different cuisines as you make your way out from Grand Central Station, where you can pick up the number 7 train, stops at Times Square. So you're getting all the New York hotspots, and then you move out through the sort of diaspora out on the 7 train. Yes, I mean, I think the opportunity to travel to these Grand Slams, I think, you know, it's wonderful to watch them on TV. Obviously, it's even better to listen to them on the radio.
Clearly.
But in travelling there, I think you get more of an idea of their history, more of an idea of how they tap into the sort of cultural identity of the cities that they're in as well.
Absolutely. And it's again, the...
Kansas.
You know, the river setting in Melbourne, the beautiful common behind Wimbledon, the parks around here where you see people having, well, like Marcus, baguettes and...
Well, he says nothing but, you know, eat four-course meals and sip wine and have baguettes and complain to the European Court of Human Rights about his lot.
Yes, yes. And outside of Flushing Meadow Corona Park with always just...
With this Unisphere, the giant, which you probably sometimes, if you've seen the TV coverage of the US Open, you'd recognise a giant globe, which is one of the great landmarks in tennis, actually.
Now, that was quite a remarkable scene, and
Andreescu,
a little shock there. This reflex from Kato. She somehow hit that into the back of Putz. It's ducked over the net for a second. I think Andreescu and Venus thought that ball had come for a winner in a remarkable fashion from the Japanese player, but no, it just clipped the back of her teammate, bounced over past Venus. That sort of helps not allow, but it was a curious thing. It had the crowd murmuring in delight.
Well, great return from Kato, and Andreescu just missing the forehand volley.
A really pivotal point there as well, because that's at 15:30. So Kato serving at 1-2 in the second set. They were able to, the Andreescu Venus.
Sorry, I said it was Kato's return, didn't I? And I did not mean that.
Oh, but it was. Well, that's Kato serving now at 30 all.
I'm used to tennis,
Andreescu backhand, and Puets just puts the racket up, angles that one across court. No, I clearly thought you meant the return from the ground stroke from the baseline.
Well, I think that's very kind of you, but I'm. It's relatively early for me, you know. We're getting lots of tweets in, lots of people saying thank you for covering the doubles. You know, we'll bring you the finals. That's what we do. We're Radio Roland Garros, and we're aware sometimes it's hard to be able to watch some of these big matches on television wherever you are in the world. And, of course, we'll bring you every ball of the women's semi-finals later today as well.
As Andreescu is able to put away a high forehand volley, so now a decisive point, effectively a break point, but also a game point for either combination. Kato serving to Andreescu, Puets near the service line, backhand. Oh, beautiful hands again from Puets at the net. Kato had opted to serve to the back end of Andreescu. She wasn't able to find the angle acutely enough, and Puts twice in a row from that side of the court, the G side of the court, able to put away the forehand volley. So lovely play, 2-2 in the second set of this final. And we talk about the importance of these matches, and last year calling the women's doubles final, we saw Mladenovic and Garcia play superbly in their women's doubles. We shouldn't underestimate just how important it can be for your confidence. Garcia then went on a tear. She, you know, they won that doubles title together at Roland Garros, and then she started playing superb tennis on the grass courts, carried that through, and obviously ended up the season with that fantastic triumph in Houston. So it can really lead to good things. And for someone like Andreescu, who's really the single specialist out there, good performance here in front of a crowd and some confidence, you don't know where that will go.
No, winning begets winning.
It does.
You know, and these are competitive animals. They want to win. They like winning. And it's good to feel that way. And as I said, I think for Andreescu, after, you know, having taken some time out away from the sport just to kind of recover her mental health, to have something like this that's success, that's very joyful and unexpected, I think is, you know, could be really important for her in the context of her season.
Absolutely, absolutely. Still a bit of work to go at the moment there. They won the first set 6-4 after coming from a break behind. 2-2 in the second. Beautiful reflexes from Andreescu. A forehand from Venus to Kato at the net. Kato not able to handle with the pace of that blistering forehand from Venus the second time around. But trying something different. She followed her own return into the net there, Kato, to try and change things up. The variety of tactics in doubles is something that always fascinates me. The change-ups, the disguise, the bluff, the double bluff. It can be fabulous to watch.
Absolutely. And I think with mixed doubles, you have all that. You have the elements of conventional doubles that perhaps the more practiced doubles players bring to the party. And then you have the slightly random elements of having the singles players. And that's what I like about it. And as I always say with mixed doubles, it's probably the form of tennis that most club players play most often. You know, recreational players. And so it's really relatable, isn't it, when you see them chatting to each other or, you know, not. That's always quite relatable. I mean, I say this, my partner won't even play table tennis with me because I'm too competitive.
Too competitive.
And I get a bit carried away, apparently. Wow. So I hear you when it comes to playing mixed doubles. I did beat my, I mean, I always like to mention this at least as often as Simon mentions his book. I did beat my brother in a mixed doubles tournament.
Outstanding. Where was this, on the Victoria Riverland?
It was in Benalla, actually.
Benalla.
In northeastern Victoria. Lovely grass court tournament. They've got lawn courts along the side of the river in Benalla. And I was playing with a local vet, and he was playing with our mutual friend Charlotte James.
Yes.
And because obviously I wouldn't play with him because we'd kill each other.
Yes.
And I aced him twice.
This is a fabulous thing.
In the same game.
I do
consecutive
hope,
points.
I do hope you wagged your finger after each one as well.
Well, this is probably 20 years ago, and it's still, I think, one of the best moments of my life.
I'm going to, the next time when I return to Australia in a couple of months and hear your brother, who is also a radio star back in Australia, I might just text in to the Australian Broadcasting Commission.
Please do.
And say, how about that time?
How about that time you didn't win in Benalla because you were beaten by your sister and the local vet and she aced you twice? He'll love that. He'll adore that. He's not at all competitive.
So Andreescu and Venus leading a set in 3-2, puts serving, goes to the back end, cleans the line. Andreescu, nothing she could do about that. Just another beautiful serve from Putz to get them on the board. And we've got Zach, I know, writing in to say, winning begets winning.
Oh, nice, Zach. Like your work, Zach. Very good. It also says, mixed doubles dream team, another vote for Martina Navratilova and Roger Federer.
Come on, does
yes,
it?
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Understand that. Gabrielle Gordon's written in from near Fort Worth in Texas to say good morning. Mixed doubles started at 5 a.m. there. She would have loved to have seen Billie Jean King and Rod Laver playing together, which I can absolutely understand. As the Kato puts combination move to a 40-love lead, trying to level.
Eric's got a film title that I think you'll like. Romancing the Stoza.
Ah, how about that?
The naming of the Stoza.
Very, very, very clever. And another spectacular serve from Putz to Venus this time, an ace down the middle. He's really finding his range in terms of the middle of the court with that very, very powerful first serve of his. I think Putz went to Auburn University, which
That's
is
right. Yeah.
A reputation for producing some very, very fine tennis players. Peter Luchak, the former Australian player, went there. Quite a few Australians who were really high-class tour players in the end did venture through Auburn University. I think Venus was a Texas University, either graduate or certainly performed there. So it's a great combination, mixing a bit of tennis and education and also the drive for education, the drive to get better on the court. It's a really winning combination for me.
Yeah, and I think what we're seeing more and more is college tennis players excelling at pro level in doubles and in singles now. You know, you've got someone like Cameron Norrie, who's the British number one, came through the college system. You've got Peyton Stearns, who actually did really well here, another college player. I mean, everywhere you look, there are players who've been through that college system and they come onto the pro circuit a little older with the backup of a good education and a degree so that, you know, they've got options as they start on the pro circuit. And also battle-hardened, as we were saying with Tim Putz, and I'm sure it applies to Michael Venus as well, when you've been through those tight matches where your team's hanging on your every point and it's all down to you and it comes down to the last couple of points for your school, you know, and you've been through that, then suddenly it's a lot easier to handle these big match situations.
Absolutely, as the crowd applauds the reflexes there of Michael Venus, Bianca Andreescu had kicked a serve to the back end of, and by kick I mean a top spinning serve to the back end of Puts, who clubbed the return. Venus reads it well, poaches at the net, puts it away. Beautiful reflexes. 30 love now on the Andreescu serve. Now 40 love because just another really strong serve. She's performed superbly in this mixed doubles final. Canadian, the former Grand Slam singles champion. Really living up to the billing of being probably the star performer on the court, as talented as the other three have been, certainly in doubles. As Andreescu serving now at 40 love, goes to the tee, Puts makes a forehand return, backhand from Andreescu, Venus across, lovely high backhand volley from Venus for a winner. Another love game, really combining very well the Commonwealth combination, as one of our readers, Rob Clement, he did say he liked the Commonwealth combination.
Yes, and we got news for you from the men's doubles. Ivan Dodig and Austin Krajicek are through to the men's doubles final. They beat Granollers and Zabalos 6-3, 7-6. So the fourth seeds beating the 10th seeds here at Roland Garros in an hour and 53 minutes. They're through to the final, and they will play either Middelkoop and Mies or Gilles and Vliegen, who are just about to start their semi-final over on court Simone Mathieu. You will not miss a thing here at Radio Roland Garros. We're bringing you live the mixed doubles final later today. As we've been saying, we've got Karolina Mukova and Arina Sabalenka. That's not before 3 local time. And just to give you a time check, just gone 1:15 here in Paris.
I believe that's the dream team combination of Gigi and Sophie bringing the commentary on that match.
That will be very much the Empress and the Princess bringing you all the news here. And following that will be Iga Świątek against Beatrice Haddad-Meier, who's really been, if you like, the kind of breakthrough story of the women's tournament here in Paris. Although you could say the same about Mukova. I think what you've got there is a sort of nice combination with these semi-finals of kind of players who are a little bit the dark horse, perhaps, against the players who I think we largely expected to be here in the very final stages of the women's competition.
It's Kato now serving at a critical game for this combination if they're to keep their Roland Garros mixed doubles title hopes alive. Venus and Puts with a fantastic exchange of the net. On that occasion, it's Venus that closes out the backhand volley. Electric reflexes from both men at the net.
Well, the quality is just starting to rise here in this mixed doubles final, as you'd expect, because we're getting to what Australians call the pointy end.
Absolutely, the pointy end.
The business end.
So Kato serving at 3-4, love 15. Goes to the Venus back end, but it's a let. So the Kato and Puts combination are not quite deploying the eye combination. Puts is certainly in what would be called a commanding position on the court. He's trying to cover more of the court at the net. Goes to the forehand on the Kato serve. On that occasion, it leaves him wide open, though, and Venus, good enough to find the off forehand winner, rifles that. The pressure is building now on Kato and Puts.
Yeah, not
love 30.
Not quite. Even his arms and Puts has got some incredible agile volleys in today, but he was never going to reach that one. As you said, he was on one side of the court, and that ball from Venus was on the other.
Love 30 to the Andreescu backhand, but she directs that one straight to Puts, who just pumps that ball straight into the ground, and it bounces up almost into the stands. So 15-30. The key here for Kato is the direction of the serve. They've gone to a more traditional double stance now. She's moved wider to serve. Goes to the back end of Venus, and that works for the combination of Kato and Puts. The change-up worked. Serve to the back end. Puts is able to cross and put away the back end volley. So we're seeing the adjustments point by point as this match, as you said. We also say squeaky bottom time.
Yes. We do, but slightly differently. But that's a very nice sanitized version of that phrase.
As Kato, great return from Andreescu, but just misses. It's an interesting one.
It was a late call. And Andreescu just asking Alison Hughes to just give it a second look. Not with any great vehemence. It's a very polite inquiry from the Canadian, and the umpire just showing with that outstretched finger that ball was indeed out.
So game point for Kato and Puts. They've come from love 30 in this occasion. Some readjustments of their positioning. Some really nice serving from Kato gives them a game point for 4-all. She just readjusts. The ball toss was slightly askew. First serve to Venus to the back end. Puts it across. Great hands from Andreescu. Venus makes, lunges it, gets it deep. Kato with the lob. Venus back with the smash. Now a volley from Puts. Kato with the forehand that flies narrowly long. Tremendous point. Great coverage from Venus to get back, to get forward. Backhand and forehand. Tremendous control with the racket.
I mean, I have to say, Andreescu and Venus there, they were all over the place. They were just scrambling to try and stay in the point, but they managed to turn that scrambling into a winning position. And Michael Venus showing some great agility. First, a fantastic pickup on the volley, and then a very clever slice, which just drew the error from Kato. And again, just struggling a little bit with her ball toss is Kato.
It's the decisive point. Kato with the first serve to the Andreescu back end. She drives it but clips the top of the tape, and that's a good hold for Kato and Puts. Four games all. Really tightened up. It is living up to the billing of being a Grand Slam final, a Roland Garros title on the line here.
Yeah, we're going to see history made here today. This brightened, blue-skied afternoon here in Paris. A few fluffy clouds, but nothing threatening. Really, if you've ever seen the TV show The Simpsons,
and
you've seen the opening credits of The Simpsons, it's that sort of sky. Blue sky, some fluffy clouds that look like they've been drawn by a cartoonist.
It is exactly that sort of sky. It's a beautiful description. As Lizzie from Utah writes to say, she hasn't seen much mixed doubles. Do the men serve to the men, or do both players alternate receiving? It's the latter. It's both players alternate receiving, and they also alternate serving from game to game. So Venus now serving at 4-all. They're playing the I formation. Andreescu crouches down low. I couldn't get that low. There's not a chance at all. Second serve to the Kato back end. Lovely lob from Kato over Andreescu, but it sets it up for Venus to club the forehand.
It wouldn't be getting down that low that would be the problem for me. It would be getting back up again. I would probably need something to push, you know, something to lean on, and at least 10 minutes.
To just ease our way back up.
Yes. That sort of stuff gets more difficult as you get older.
Now, you heard the squeal there from Andreescu on that occasion. They were again playing the I formation. Venus with the powerful first serve. Puts clubs the back end straight back her. She had a little swing on that forehand, and she's hit that one into the back fence on the full, the forehand volley. Just the pace of the shot from Puts, the return was blistering. So 15-all. Netted first serve. Second serve coming for Venus to Andreescu. He goes down the tee. Andreescu a long way behind. Beautiful backhand return. Cross court to the forehand. Forehand now from both players. As they're exchanging the ball cross court. Good depth from Andreescu. And she draws the error from Venus, who opted to try and go down the line past Puts. But passing Puts can be problematic.
Passing Puts can be problematic.
And that was a difficult...
you said that perfectly.
Difficult exchange there from myself trying to spit that out.
Isn't it? It's lots of puzz, lots of puzz, lots of peas.
So 15-30 now on the Venus serve. 30-15. Sorry, 15-30 on the Venus serve at 4-all. To the Puts back end. He drives it at Andreescu. She's got great reflexes twice. And then a lovely drop shot from Puts, who sets it up, opens the court, and is able to put the forehand volley away. Fabulous reflexes from the Canadian at the net, but Puts was up to the challenge. He was able to move forward, some delicate touch on the backhand, and then the high forehand volley, put it away. Lovely exchange, and now a real chance here. You talked about the point, the momentum potentially swinging. Two break points for the Puts-Kato combination at 4-all on the Venus serve.
Remember, they broke the Venus serve at the start of this match, early in the first set.
So Venus is able to come up with the goods on the first occasion, served it wide to the Kato forehand. He had been going to the back end, down the middle of the court. Just the change up there drew the error. One break point saved. Another one to come here at 30-40. As Andreescu adopts the eye combination. Venus into the first serve. Goes to the Puts forehand, and he draws the error from Puts. Two saved. Now we are to the decisive point.
point décisif.
And it is Puts who will take the return on this occasion. Again, we saw Andreescu favoured for the return a few games back when they had an opportunity. The returning team picks the side they want to receive from, so it's Puts returning. Decisive point. Venus misses with the first serve.
And this is the tricky thing about this decisive point, isn't it? Because effectively, it's instead of two break points, you save those, and then you've got another one to face.
Goes to the backhand. Puts returns it to Andreescu. Hits the volley. Puts scrambles. Now high forehand from Venus. Forehand to forehand from Puts. Kato with the backhand. They both come into the net. And Kato with the forehand volley. Exchange and reflexes from Andreescu. But Kato comes up with the goods. Hits a lovely forehand volley. And there's the service break. Gives her team a chance to serve to level this Roland Garros mixed doubles final.
Well, the crowd will probably like that, won't they? They would love to see more tennis here. We've had an hour of 16 minutes of very high-quality tennis, as you'd expect in a mixed doubles final. And Rob has come on Twitter and asked us, is mixed doubles in the mix at the Olympics? Now, it was in Tokyo. I am just going to double check if it is for Paris, because I know there was some discussion about changing things up, because the schedule, I think, was quite problematic in Tokyo, just sheer weight of tennis. Now, the tennis competition, you basically only get a week to fit in. And if you're trying to fit in the equivalent of a men's doubles, women's doubles, men's singles, women's singles, and mixed doubles into the mix, it does really stretch out the schedule a little bit. So I'm going to double check on that, Rob. I mean, I the more mixed doubles for me, the better. Yes, I'm thrilled to see the Hopman Cup coming back. I'm thrilled to see more mixed doubles as part of the Australian circuit.
Love
mixed doubles. I think it's absolutely fantastic and a real a wonderful, just something different, a different discipline. It creates, as we've been saying, this variety, this creativity on the court. It's fun, you know, it's fun to watch. So I would love to see more mixed doubles, but I do know the schedule is going to be quite tight for tennis at the Olympic Games. But since I got an answer, Rob, I'll come back to you.
So Puts now serving to try and level this final at a set apiece. They lead 5-4 in the second set. The momentum has swung again in this match. Puts wearing a hat. He looks to the sky in between the first and second serves, bounces it three times into the second serve motion. And double fault clips the top
double
of the tape.
Games.
So not this type of start they wanted here in this service game.
There's never a good time for a double fault, is there? Never, but that's really not a good time when you're serving for a set.
So he just kicks the baseline, tries to clear a bit of dirt off the line, a bit of clay off the line. Now serving to Venus at love 15, traditional formation for the pair. Venus with a forehand return, puts forehand to the backhand. They're exchanging cross court, and then Venus drills it at Kato, who comes up with the goods on the first occasion. But Venus, with the second opportunity, drills the backhand.
0-30.
Just too good for Kato on that occasion. Love 30. So having seized that service break to give themselves an opportunity to try and close out the second set, now they're under pressure. Love 30. Puts the serving. He looks to the sky again. A couple of bounces. Serving to Andreescu, who's waiting eagerly on the forehand court. First serve. Beautiful return from Andreescu. Lovely forehand down the line. Now they're in a rally. Great network from Kato. She was crossed. She poached. And then she ducked back to the other side to put away the backhand volley. That was delightful, Eleanor.
Well, it was great anticipation from Kato. And also I noticed that she hit the volley with two hands on the backhand side just to make sure that when it was put away, it stayed put away. Because I don't think she trusts Andreescu, who's been great around the net and had great anticipation, not to try and get that back. Just adding a little bit of extra power and pep to the shot.
So 15-30, just marginally long there with the first serve from Puts directed to the Venus forehand. A second serve to come. He's wearing blue shorts, a white striped top, the white cap. Bounces a couple of times into the motion. Second serve to the back end. Venus, unable to control the return, flies it long. 30-all.
We've got a bit of a mix of outfits out there, haven't we? As you were saying, Puts with the white stripes. He almost looks like I'm sure he's very smart and it's all brand new, but it almost looks like you might see him at your local tennis club.
Absolutely, and I'm sure it's very much he's a club tennis player as well. So 30-all. Serving to Andreescu. Nets the first serve, was directing that towards the back end. Just that little tick of cleaning some clay off the baseline to make sure he doesn't slip over if he's moving into it. Second serve to come. Oh, a double fold. He's second for the game, and he's second to Andreescu. That gives the combination of Andreescu and Venus a break back opportunity. He'll be disappointed with that. Time to try and rise to the challenge. Cato back to have a consoling word just to keep his confidence up.
Venus in mostly sort of a reddish maroon colour with black shoulders, black hat.
So puts serves to the Venus back end. Cato on top of the net. Beautiful anticipation. A far better directed serve set that chance up for Renshi. Again, the two hands on the back end. Punches that back end volley into the ground. So one break point saved. They're now going to serve to the Venus back end again for the decisive point. Set point or break back point, depending on which way you're standing. Puts and Cato to try and level this final. Serves to the forehand of Venus, who makes a return, but again, it's Cato brilliant at the net. Some superb volleying from the Japanese player. In the last few games of this, she just puts that backhand volley away. A high backhand volley was potentially awkward, and here we are at a set each.
As Alison Hughes was just saying, we'll have a decisive set to decide the winner of this match. And another interesting little bit, almost like tennis's version of the penalty shootout.
There is an element of penalty shootout, Russian roulette about tiebreakers in doubles.
So it's match tiebreakers. It's first to 10, not a conventional tiebreaker. So it's just the first to 10 points and then advantage thereafter. And that will decide the fate of this year's Roland Garros mixed doubles title. Now, Rob asked a question about the Olympics, so just to give you an update on that. You're not missing anything. The players are just sitting down at change of ends. There will be mixed doubles in the 2024, Paris 2024 tennis event. It'll be here at Roland Garros. So we're sitting currently in what's going to be one of the key and perhaps the best, one of the best known Olympic venues here at Roland Garros. It'll be singles, obviously women's and men's, doubles, women's and men's, and mixed. Competition runs from the 27th of July to the 4th of August next year. So busy old summer for everyone working here at Roland Garros, and of course the players, because they'll have to fit that in between here and the US Open series before they go to the US. So they'll finish Wimbledon. They might have a little bit of a time off. There's a couple of events, I think, in Washington, for example, kind of end of July. And the Olympic tennis event, on clay, of course, will be squeezed in. So we're going to have a mini clay court season right in the middle of that summer swing before going over to the US. So always a bit of a challenge to work out tennis's schedule in Olympics years. But I mean, I've been fortunate enough to work on the tennis event, the Olympics. I've done 8 Olympic Games, and my first one was 2008 in Beijing for the tennis event. And I've worked on lots of different sports. And I can tell you that anyone who says Olympic tennis doesn't matter hasn't seen people playing for their country in an Olympic tennis event. I was fortunate enough as well in Rio to go and just watch the men's gold medal match with Andy Murray and Juan Martin Del Potro, and it was one of the most extraordinary Olympic moments that I've seen, and I've been really fortunate to see lots. So I think the players that commit to the Olympics absolutely love it, and those that don't, it's fine. It doesn't work for their schedules, they don't go, and that's I think everyone accepts that that's people's choice. You know, everybody's got to manage their bodies and their schedules and their endurance. And it's a busy year, but I, for one, am really looking forward to seeing the tennis played here as an Olympic venue.
I think it will be absolutely fabulous. I have no doubt about that whatsoever, as it is Venus and Cato to start proceedings in the decisive super tiebreaker for the prestigious Roland Garros mixed doubles round. Venus with a beautiful serve out. Oh, sorry, that, yes? Beautiful serve out wide. Too good there. Lovely ace to start. That's how you want to start, isn't it? Just wide to Cato. So puts to serve.
Just try and get some scoreboard pressure happening. Try and put pressure on the put serve. I mean, his serve has actually held up very well. And I think in some ways the difference in their team has actually been that Kato has played better over the last few points. And as I say that, she just dominates at the net to get them their first point in this match tiebreaker and back to 1-1. And I think she's lifted her level a lot during the course of that second set.
Absolutely.
And that's been a big difference.
No, her reflexes at the net, but also her ability to put that backhand volley away. We saw it so critically in that last service game of the second set when they were under pressure. So now put serving at 1-1 to Andreescu. Andreescu, it was a body serve. She was able to get it back. Kato on the net, bounces that one into the crowd. Oh, and that one, well, a little awkwardly, slipped through the hands of a gentleman wearing a pink shirt and a blue cap and rebounded off the board into the back of a lady wearing a white broad-brimmed hat and a green dress, straight back into the straight into the back of her, but she doesn't seem too fussed.
Do you think he's Australian and he missed a catch?
I wouldn't have thought that would be the case, Lady Eleanor.
Let's not bring... You know what? You know, we'll get in trouble with Chris Bowers, who hates us talking about cricket, quite rightly, because it's quite a kind of Australia-English-centric conversation.
We don't want to cross Mr. Bowers. So
no, we don't want to cross...
Potentially cross him yet tomorrow by... I've got a sworn knee, may not be able to play.
Oh, dear. Were you supposed to be playing tennis with him?
Yes, lovely serve from Andreescu, but... And Venus up... the occasion after Putz drilled the forehand at him at the, on the net. Great reflexes on the forehand. 2-2 in this deciding super tiebreaker. Yes, there's one thing you shouldn't do at a Grand Slam is go for a run. And I went for a run a few days ago and it's really just caused me a couple of issues. Might be something to do with age, perhaps.
I couldn't possibly comment. Zach says, is Carlos Alcaraz capable of the Golden Slam? The Golden Slam is something that was achieved by Steffi Graf in 1988, and it is winning all four Grand Slam titles in 1 year, plus an Olympic gold medal.
As a beautiful point there from Putz. Andreescu had served to Kato. Venus crossed, put the volley towards Putz, who is standing back alongside his partner on the baseline for that point. Plenty of time for Putz to hit the off forehand winner, and now it is the combination of he and Kato who have the mini break in this tiebreaker, leading 3-2 with Kato to serve to the Venus on the backhand court. Venus makes the backhand down the line. Kato with the forehand. Venus goes for that cross forehand. Great reflexes from Putz. Backhand from Kato, but then Venus comes up with the backhand volley cross court. 3-3.
As first to 10, remember this match tiebreaker, so plenty of twists and turns along the way, I'm sure. And back to Zach's question, just as we see players just take a mini breather, take on some fluids. It's warming up here today at Roland Garros. Yeah, I mean, I absolutely think Carlos Alcaraz is capable of doing the Golden Slam. I think there's a bit of a question mark about his play on grass, just because he hasn't really played very much on it, you know, and it's a surface he's still learning. In saying that, I think his game is absolutely suited to the surface, and I think he'll be just fine once he works it out. He's due to play at Queen's this year as part of his warm-up for Wimbledon, and hopefully we'll see him play there. We'll get a better idea, I think, by the end of this Wimbledon as to how much he loves playing on grass and how much it suits him.
As Kato serves to the Andreescu backhand, Putz there to put the forehand volley away. Lovely poach from Putz. 4-3 now to Kato Andreescu. Look, there's, yes, clearly, I mean, even winning a Grand Slam would be a step in the right direction, and it seemed even the very best Novak Djokovic was unable to do it a couple of years ago. Just narrowly fell shy. So there's a few hurdles for him to get over first ahead, and obviously they have the fabulous semi-final tomorrow between that pair. Novak's dominance in Melbourne is one factor. Alcaraz on grass. We yet to see him do it here either in terms of actually closing out a title. So
yes, he's got quite a big match against quite an accomplished opponent tomorrow.
Absolutely.
In Novak Djokovic. Just the 22 Grand Slam titles to his one. We have to keep a sense of perspective, don't we, when we're talking about Alcaraz, because he's still very much in the foothills of what we think will be a career full of enormous highs.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Venus serving at 3-4, hits the second serve marginally long, and that gives Kato and Putz the 5-3 lead in this tiebreaker. Again, it's the extended tiebreaker, the super tiebreaker. So still plenty of work for the combination of Kato and Putz to do yet, but they do have a mini advantage with Venus now serving to Kato. Andreescu adopts the eye. First serve into the net.
I think the crowd thought that might have been a double fault. I think they'd lost track of how many serves Michael Venus has had.
Second serve. Kato moves forward, takes it on the rise and gets that back in. Awkward for Andreescu. She makes it. Forehand volley from Andreescu. Kato good enough to defend. Deep now to Venus. Backhand from Kato. She comes forward. Lovely hands again. Venus drills it at her, but she able to evade that powerful forehand from Venus. The ball flies long. That was just lovely, aggressive play from Kato. She has been superb in the last 4 to 5 games. Just played brilliantly.
I agree, and not afraid to take the fight to Michael Venus. She was really covering the net, but she was also creating a presence. And she's the, you know, in terms of height, she's the shortest player out there, and yet she was the biggest presence at the net there. And Michael Venus just trying to overhit the forehand, and Kato actually, as you said, had to evade that so that she didn't get hit and therefore actually lose the point.
So 6-3 has put serves to the Venus backhand and draws the error from the Kiwi. So it is now a 7-3 lead to Putz and Kato, with one more serve from Putz to come to the forehand court of Andreescu. They're in a commanding position now in this final. He gives his shoes a couple of taps with the racket to clear the clay from them, looks to the sky as has been his habit just to check where that sun is, make sure it's not in the way into the serves motion. Goes to the back end of Andreescu. A lovely return down the line. Now a back end to back end. Both players on the same side of the court. Andreescu drills that one at Kato, but again, the Japanese star is up for the challenge and punches that forehand away. An 8-3 lead. Just wonderful play from her at the net.
Yes, and Andreescu just stood stock still at the end of that point, didn't she? And kind of stared into the distance as if to say, well, this is annoying that Kato's playing this well at this moment.
Given the dramas earlier on, she has been electric in this mixed doubles final. So now Andreescu serving, 3-8. Misses her first serve long, serving to Putz, who's positioned on the backhand court. Kato at the net, Venus at the net, diagonally opposite each other. Second serve to come from Andreescu. Puts around, takes that on the forehand, heavy to the Andreescu backhand. Lovely shot from Andreescu, though. Beautiful return. Puts out of position. Venus is able to poach with the backhand. Really strong backhand from Andreescu there. Set that point up. She found the angle, and that really opened the court for her opponent, for her partner to cross.
And, you know, match tiebreakers, all sorts of things can happen. As I said before, they're full of twists and turns. It's a wonderful format, the match tiebreak. I think it's added something enormous to obviously doubles and mixed doubles. And I think it just, yeah, we said it's a penalty shootout. There are some elements of luck and elements of good fortune. But also I think it's just enough time for teams to find a way back. You only have to have, you know, a couple of missed serves here and there, and all of a sudden fortune can turn really quickly.
Absolutely. So it's Andreescu at 4-8, serving to Kato. Goes down the tee to the back end. Lovely return, though, from Kato. Forces Andreescu to move. She's up to the challenge. Kato with amazing angle. Opens the court up. Goes to Venus. Back to Andreescu at the baseline. Forehand from Kato. She misses when trying to pass Venus down the line. That was outstanding defense there from Bianca Andreescu, because she was dragged all over the court by Kato's acute angles. But in the end, they were good enough. Kato misses.
I think what Andreescu did there as well is she just upped the ante on the pace for the last couple of shots. And I think in the end, Kato just a bit overwhelmed. She actually had the whole line to hit through, but couldn't handle the pace. And that's why her final shot went wide.
So Kato serving to Venus, 5-8. Misses with the first serve long. Venus standing in the backhand court. Traditional formation in doubles for both combinations here. Second serve from Kato to the forehand of Venus, who goes down the line, but it clips the tape, sets up for Kato, who misses with the forehand. Is this deciding super tiebreaker tightens up?
Well, I think the tiebreaker's tightening up. I'm not sure if Kato's tightening up a little bit as well. As we said, she's been outstanding, really, for the last kind of the second half of this match, if you like. Whereas in the first set, Tim Putz played extremely well early on. Michael Venus got better as the match went on. Andreescu has played well throughout, I think. And Putz just coming to his partner's rescue a little bit there, dominating the net, taking the point, and we have match point here for the mixed doubles title.
Yeah, a really nice serve there from Kato to the Andreescu backhand, who went down the line to Putz. His reflexes were good enough to open up an easy second volley, which he puts away. So now it is Venus serving at 6-9, three match points to Putz and Kato. He goes for the body serve, just misses long. Probably lucky because Putz was all over it. A second serve to come. Goes to the back end again, Putz with the return and draws the arrow from Venus, and there we have it. Tim Putz and Kato, his superb partner, hug after a tremendous victory.
Well, a warm embrace from all four players at the net, and after Michael Venus had missed that final shot, Andreescu immediately turned to him and said, it's okay, and smiled and said, we've had a great time. And Tim Putz and Mayu Keitu just bowing to the crowd, applauding each other, applauding this wonderful crowd that's been here and been hanging on every point for this mixed doubles final. And they've had a fantastic occasion. It's a wonderful win and a wonderful moment for Kato and Putz. And for both of them, it's a moment of redemption. Putz has been there or thereabouts at the college circuit, as you said, playing German club league tennis, and now he's a Grand Slam champion. Kato, less than a week ago, was in tears, being defaulted from this tournament on the women's doubles for a really unfortunate mishap with hitting a ball at a ball girl, and
accidental,
and just fell foul of the rules, and that's what the rules are for, and horrible thing to happen to a player, horrible for everybody, horrible for the ball girl obviously, and that was just a real low point for her, I'm sure, and to come back and win her first Grand Slam title and become mixed doubles champion at the same tournament is quite the turnaround.
It's an exceptional turnaround. I think that's one that if you had a film title to share with us about Kato's trip to Paris for this Roland Garros, I suspect it would be well watched.
Yes, you can imagine her going home to her family. It's, how is Paris? Well,
a little
first
bit of drama.
So just while they get set up for the presentations here, which obviously we'll bring you live on Radio Roland Garros, let's give you a little score update on the men's doubles semi-final currently in progress. And remember, the winner of this match will play Ivan Dodig and Austin Krajicek in the final, in the men's doubles final. Middelkoop and Mies are up against Gill and Vliegen, and it's 2-2 in the first set of that one. We've got some dream mixed doubles pairings as well. Not you and me, funnily enough. But how about a team that Chris Bowers constantly raves about, says Red Sox Devil, Suzanne Longlen and René Lacoste. That would be good. I'd like to see Suzanne Longlen and Nick Kyrgios. You know what? Because Suzanne Longlen was a fantastic character, an amazing personality. You know, she used to sip cognac at change of ends, and she used to soak sugar cubes in cognac and eat those to keep her pepped up in the middle of matches, and a really huge superstar in her day. And I think those two would have been fun.
I believe they would have a world of fun. And we know that Nick's produced some of his best tennis in Acapulco, where there is a nice relaxed scene, après tennis, after tennis, where players can enjoy themselves off the court, play late at night. It's certainly that sort of lifestyle has suited Nick in the past. He's loved playing in Mexico, so I think they would have some fun. Talking about a couple of dream team, dream mixed doubles combinations, Sabatini and Verlander are playing Dukal and Medvedev in the Legends doubles. Sabatini and Verlander, what a combination. They are down a set, but 4-2 up. They were just two favourites of mine in the 1980s as I was growing up. As we see the ball boys come onto the court, having worked throughout that fabulous Roland Garros mixed doubles final. Very orderly in their formations.
They've done a fabulous job throughout, the ball crew, ball boys and girls. So difficult. It's been hot. It's been challenging. Never easy. And, it's a lot of pressure for these very, very young children, and they've done a fantastic job. Beautifully trained, beautifully disciplined, and a nice moment for them to form something of a guard of honour for these champions here today, and they're flanked by the line judges.
Voici les trophées.
And from the other,
la entrée de la coupe pour le double mixte, la coupe Marcel Bernard.
Side of the court, the trophies come out glistening in the sunshine.
Beautiful trophy. And now's the time for me to own up and say I once dropped the Australian Open Mixed Doubles trophy.
This is a fabulous piece of information, and I am intrigued as to what happened.
Got a little dent in it. I was
A character building dent.
I was taking the mixed doubles champions, who I think was Martina Hingis and Leander Paes that year, and we were doing some photos with them as the champions. And
cérémonie de remise de récompense du double mixte Roland Garros 2023. Les trophées seront remis par Madame Florence Gravelier, vice-présidente de la Fédération française de tennis en charge du développement et de toutes les pratiques référentes paratennis, accompagnée de Monsieur Germain Roche, vice-président de la Fédération française de tennis en charge de la responsabilité sociétale et référent pour les grands travaux.
Yeah, essentially, I thought the security guard who was with me had it. The security guards thought I had it. Neither of us had it, and we dropped it.
Did you fess up at the time, or did we just pretend that it never happened?
It never happened, Courtney. It's just between you, me, and the Radio Rolling Girls listeners.
Madame Alison Hughes.
Alison Hughes makes her way out to receive a trophy for officiating in fine fashion in that final.
Finaliste du double mix Roland-Garros 2023, la Canadienne Bianca Andreescu et le Néo-Zélandais Michael Venus.
And understandably well received, this combination. They played some fabulous tennis. Really lovely to see Bianca back and enjoying herself on a tennis court.
Yeah, and really taking this defeat in good heart is Andreescu. She just poses for photos.
Les finalistes.
And getting some round applause. I mean, people love to see, obviously, the specialists in doubles play, but they also, I think, really love to see someone like Andreescu, who's better known for singles, has a bit of a star quality.
Vainqueur du double mixte Roland-Garros 2023, la japonaise Miyu Kato et l'allemand Tim Putz. Les vainqueurs.
As the champions pose with the winning trophy.
Les joueuses et les joueurs.
And we're going to hear from them.
Bianca, if you want to start, please.
First from our runners-up, starting with Bianca Andreescu.
Hi, everyone. This is my first ever mixed doubles tournament and a mixed doubles final. Definitely unexpected, but I'm not complaining. It was really fun to play with you, Michael. Congrats to our opponents. You guys deserve it. Thank you for everyone who came out, everybody who makes this tournament possible, all the organizers, sponsors, tournament director, ball kids, linesmen, photographers, all the physios as well, everyone in the locker room. I appreciate it. Yeah, hopefully we can have many more of these, but winning them next time.
Thank you. Merci, Bianca.
There's someone who's made a speech or two before.
She spoke so well there.
He's the first New Zealander player in the final in the mixed double in Roland-Garros. C'est le premier Néo-Zélandais en finale du double mix à Roland-Garros.
Michael Venus.
Cool. Congrats, guys. Well played. Thanks everyone for coming out.
I forgot to thank you guys.
Yeah. Elle a oublié de vous remercier, Bianca. Elle voulait vous remercier d'être venue.
Bianca, thanks for playing. Really enjoyed it. Hope we can do it again. Our team, thanks everyone. We'll see you soon. Thanks, guys.
Not quite as polished, but very Antipodean, if you don't mind me saying so.
I love the contrast between the Canadian and the New Zealand accents there.
You can start.
We're going to hear from Mayukeitu first, I think.
She's
just preparing her notes.
My English is not so good, so I was writing last night.
She's got.
Thank you to everyone involved in the tournament and to the all sponsors.
I hold it.
As puts the professional teammate as ever, comes in to give her a hand.
Congratulations,
holding the microphone.
Bianca and Michael. It was a great match. To my partner team, I'm so glad I have you as a partner. Thank you so much for always supporting me and cheering me up. To my coach, thank you for always being with me when I was having a hard time.
She's getting a little teary out there, and who can blame her after the Roland Garros that she's had, the highs and the lows?
It has been really challenging mentally for me the past few days due to the unjust disqualifications from the women's doubles. I want to thank all the players, coaches, everyone for the heartfelt message of support. I was able to use all their positive energies to move forward so I could be here today. Thanks to my female doubles partner, Aldera, her team, and all the Indonesian fans. It has unfortunate that we were disqualified, but I'm doing my best so that we can return have one day and claim the women's doubles final. And hopefully Borgal is okay. To Sara and Marie, my opponents in the women's doubles this week, Aldira, and I hope that we can play each other again somewhere and have a great match. And sorry, so long. And lastly, to Roland Garros, it's unfortunate about the disqualification decision, but I'm looking for a positive outcome of my appeal so that I can receive my points, my prize money, and my recreation comeback. Thank you so much.
Merci, Miu.
I think she's covered everything there.
Merci, Miu.
Less of a speech, more of a press conference.
Tim devient le premier joueur allemand masculin à remporter le double mix de l'histoire de Roland Garros. He's the first German player, male German player, to get Tim en anglais pour les adversaires, mais aussi en français.
Yeah, first, Bianca, Mikey, sorry about today. I thought you played a great tournament. I thought you had only really tough opponents. Happy to play you in this great court, honestly. Sorry for the outcome, but yeah, maybe we can play again in the future. It would be quite nice. Yeah, then, of course, Miu. I mean, unbelievable what has happened the last 10 days. With everything that's happened, I hope this... this helps you. I'm very, very happy to win, even without all the drama we had. And with all this, I hope you feel good. I hope this is somewhat redemption for everything that's happened. And I think you saw you get so much support from everywhere, and I think it's well deserved. To your team, to my team, to my family, they're actually a bit crazy. They came today from home, but I'm happy they're here now. Thank you for coming. Mefi, thanks for the 11 days, for cooking for us. To Miu's coach, best coach on the tour for sure. dernièrement, merci beaucoup au tournoi, Roland Garros, tous les sponsors, Amélie, à tout le monde. Ouais, pour nous, pour les Allemands, c'est vraiment c'est le grand chelem de la maison pour nous aussi, parce que c'est très proche. Et on a toujours un super temps ici. Merci beaucoup à tout le monde. Merci au public aussi. J'espère que ça vous a plu. Merci pour le soutien et j'espère que vous avez une belle journée de tennis. Merci.
Tim Putz there doing a very good job with the French, isn't he? And always endears you to a Roland Garros crowd. And just as they organise the photos there on court with our mixed doubles champions, Tim Putz and Mayu Keitu. The
finalists du double mixed Roland Garros 2023.
And our runners-up, Bianca Andreescu and Michael Venus. And now that concludes our coverage of Roland Garros.